Hi, Pavel.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Pavel. It's so great to have you with us. And you are a graduate student at University of New Mexico in environmental science, right? Am I getting all this right?
That is correct, yes.
And your interest in study is about deep water. And I'm so fascinated with this topic. So I'm very glad you're with us today on the Children's Hour. Welcome to the show. And let's jump right in. What makes hot springs? Why are they hot? Where is that water coming from? I don't know how to start. You know all about hot springs. So we have hot springs here in New Mexico. Where is that water coming from?
Okay. Well, thank you for having me here, Katie. And I do study a lot of hot springs. My main study area is in the Gila Wilderness. But we have plenty of hot springs all around us. There's Ojo Caliente, Jemez Hot Springs, and that water travels long ways before it gets up to the surface where we can enjoy it by bathing in it or sitting around and enjoying friends' company. That water travels deep down beneath the Earth's surface and gets heated up by the molten rock that we know as mantle.
So take us on a little trip. Pretend we're at these very famous hot springs in New Mexico called, that the girls were talking about, called Spence Hot Springs. And those are they're easy to find if you Google them, if you've never been there, and they're very accessible. But pretend we're in a tiny little ship. We're like on the magic school bus and we're jumping through the source. We're going deep into the rock. Where do we go? If we go back, where this water comes from.
Okay, so there's a lot of different ways that the water can interact with the world around us. And one of those ways is it travels down through these channels that are called fractures in the Earth's crust. And so the journey begins somewhere on the surface. The water infiltrates into the ground, and it trickles down through these cracks in our the Earth's crust and goes deep, deep down several kilometers, sometimes up to 10 kilometers, and starts interacting with the heat that's coming from the molten rock beneath our crust.
And so you're saying that, first of all, you just said two things that were really interesting to me. The water that's in the hot springs, that's coming out of the hot springs, originally came from the surface of the planet?
All of the water on our Earth it circulates through a lot of different pathways. Yes, so that's one of the pathways that water can take and go on this long journey.
And so the water seeps down into fissures and ends up really far deep, like below any aquifer, way down there. And there's bubbly lava down there.
Yes, there's molten rock. And that's what gives the hot spring its heat.
So when it's down there underground with all this molten rock, is it staying in a water? Is it staying as water? Is it staying as a liquid?
No. In some cases it does. In some cases it doesn't. All of these pathways are very intricate, and each system is different from each other. But in some cases, it does reach temperatures where it reaches it becomes a supercritical fluid where you cannot distinguish liquid water from gas state.
Wow. And then somehow it doesn't mix in with the lava. It stays as water. And then what makes it come bubbling back up out into our Spence Hot Springs?
So as it's interacting with gains its heat from the molten rock below, it creates pressure.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of energized by that heat.
Correct. It's kind of like having a kettle, and whenever it starts boiling, you see the steam coming up. Well, it's a very similar effect, and so it heats up, and while it's traveling and in that heated state, it has a lot of interaction with surrounding rock, too, and along the way, it picks up a lot of different minerals. It dissolves rock, that's the reason why hot spring water quality can be sometimes hazardous. Sometimes it's considered to be a natural pollutant. And there's elements, harmful elements that can be coming from it, and it's not considered to be good water to drink.
So you're saying that the water is actually mixing with the minerals, and as it's coming up, And then that's why maybe sometimes, like at Ojo Caliente, I know they have these arsenic springs, and that's where that comes from. That arsenic is coming from that underground path that's picked up along the way.
Correct. So throughout its journey, it does dissolve rock, and natural volcanic rock is full of arsenic. Just naturally occurring arsenic, and so it picks it up along the way and brings it to the surface.
And arsenic is not something you would drink normally.
Arsenic is not good for your body.
No. Now, why does sometimes hot springs, the girls were talking about it, and girls, I don't know if you want to come back up here and tell us, you saw things in the hot springs like you described moss,
rocks,
algae,
yeah.
Well, The water that's coming out of hot springs, it has a lot of different elements that have been dissolved from the rock, and some of the algae and other organisms have adapted to live in such conditions, and in fact there's a certain type of algae that will grow only specifically next to the hot springs.
Oh, wow! Because it has to have that certain condition of warmth and. And then why? So in other words, they're constantly being fed by. That's one thing you notice with hot springs. I mean, it's a constant movement of the hot water. It's not like it fills the bathtub and then they shut off the tap. It's constantly being fed over and over and over again. But there's certain organisms that really like that. Some organisms are not so good. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, some organisms cannot tolerate such high. Saturation of different minerals and also different gases that are coming out through the hot springs.
Mm. I mean, I know that we're not supposed to, for example, put our faces and heads underwater in the hot springs because there's little critters. Little critters actually can live in this water?
There's a lot of biological life that's specifically adapted to that type of environment.
So did you girls know that when you go to hot springs, you should not put your face or nose underwater?
I know that. It's like the same with a lot of other natural water sources, or like when you go to the bay, you shouldn't, especially we went to California last summer, and especially like there was some danger that the water there was contaminated.
A hot spring water? Are you talking?
Hot spring and the bay.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
It was like all the water in California.
Oh. But when we're talking about hot springs, some have these living organic matter. That didn't come from way underground. That's up from the surface that's decided to live there, like the moss, like the amoebas that can get in your eye. Yeah, Anna.
So I was wondering if maybe a reason why we can't put our faces under, besides the algae and just water in general, is because it's polluted. Is that a reason too?
Talk about that. That water is actually, it's not really polluted in the way we think of pollution, huh? Tell us about that.
No, that's a very good question. But this water that comes up in different springs, it has different composition. Some springs are heavy in certain elements, and it's not such a good idea to submerge your face or submerge yourself into that water. But in other cases, that water is not so bad.
Interesting. And so does every hot spring, or you shouldn't say everyone has a different mineral makeup, but there are a lot of different possibilities for different mineral compositions of different, like some in the Hamas, they come up and it's all mud. And I'm thinking of those muddy, muddy ones that are really not that accessible. Is that just because the ground is all mud and it's coming through the mud? And
the water that comes out from deep beneath the earth, it does not have any mud in it. Mm-hmm. It picks up all of this silty and clay material once it exits the orifice, which is the opening where the water comes from in the hot spring.
Mm. So we have hot springs up by Taos too, right on the Rio Grande River, and those are beautiful hot springs, by the way, if you've all never been there. And those. Is it the same deal? Same deal? It's coming. Is it a different source than the Hamas ones? I've always wondered. Like, are each hot spring source coming from a different spot, different source of water?
There's a lot of interconnected systems, but whenever there's some distance between the springs, it's definitely traveling a different pathway, and it could vary the length of the pathway, and the water rock interaction could be. much longer in some springs than others, and therefore each single water that coming out it's coming out of the spring has its own chemical signature.
And what could you do you have some favorite hot springs that you've kind of fallen in love with your research and study?
I do my research in the Gila Wilderness, and I love those hot springs. They're very, some of them are very remote. It takes, it's about 5 mile hike, 5 to 7 miles, and you're in the very remote area, and then you get to this beautiful place where you can sit down and relax and nobody's bothering you.
Oh.
But of course I collect my samples prior to submerging myself into the spring.
Yeah, I see, because you could, your body going in there can contaminate the water. There's a couple more questions I want to ask you, but first we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Are you girls ready? And this is the children's hour. We got a great call from Dr. Bauer. He's a family medicine doctor here, and he wanted us to know that the reason you don't put your face underwater in hot springs is because this brain-eating amoeba called the Naegleria fowleri, I think that is how I wrote that, Naegleria fowleri, it's a brain-eating amoeba. It likes hot springs, and it will travel up your nose into your brain. And he really did a good job of scaring me. He says that the fatality rate is upwards of 95% once you get this. He did also tell us that the different our springs do get tested for this amoeba on a regular basis, but it does show up on a regular basis in our hot springs. So a word to the wise, we're talking hot springs on the Children's Hour, and do not put your face underwater in a hot spring. However, you can very much enjoy the relaxing sensations of laying back in a hot spring. And with us on the show today is Pavel Vaklamov, and Pavel, I'm probably butchered your name again, but hi. And we have some questions here I had a few questions for you for sure, but we had some more questions about hot springs and just sort of the whole cycle. We've learned that water goes very deep, and that the water in your hot springs really probably did originate as rain or somewhere on the surface of the planet and then seeped down into fissures way deep, 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 deep near lava, and that makes it very hot. And that's what we've learned so far. And Jonathan.
I'm curious, if it goes down kilometers or even 10 kilometers deep, how long does that take? Do we have a way of knowing when this rain fell that's coming bubbling out of the earth? Is it old?
Each spring is unique, and we can definitely tell we can estimate the age of the water by looking at the isotopic composition and fractionation of certain elements in that water.
But just for example, you know, is it like last week's water, or is it last year, or is it last century, or what are you talking about?
Some of the waters takes a very long time for them to travel to those pathways, and it takes sometimes thousands of years.
Wow! To think that as you're sitting in a hot spring, this was rain from thousands of years ago. Wow, I love it. Pavel, I've learned so much from you on the Children's Hour. Thank you so much for being with us and talking about hot springs with us. It's so fascinating to hear. We have lots of hot springs in New Mexico, and I'm really grateful someone is out there studying them. My last question for you is, when we go visit hot springs, is there any sort of protocol that humans should take to kind of keep them clean? Any thoughts you have on that?
Whenever you go to any wilderness place or any beautiful place that you, whenever you arrive there, you do enjoy, just keep it clean. Whatever you bring in, you take it out with you. No, don't leave trash behind for somebody else to look at.
Mm.
No one is enjoying coming to a place and seeing some bottles or cans or plastics all over the place, cigarette butts.
Yeah, that's yucky. I've also made it a policy of not wearing any sunscreen going into a hot spring, just because I always feel like that sunscreen seems to stick around on the rocks. So I just don't wear sunscreen on those days.
That definitely a good practice.
Pavel, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. Pavel Vaklamov, he is a graduate student here at University of New Mexico studying environmental science and specializing in the study of thermal springs. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you for having me.